You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Vivek Dhar, our mining and energy commodity strategist. Vivek, good to have you on for your first podcast with us.
No, thank you.
Now, today we're going to talk about something that's getting some more media attention as Australia looks at, I guess, changing how it gets its energy and also maybe the carbon-intensive nature of its energy sources as well. And Vivek, we're going to talk about hydrogen. Now, many of our listeners may have heard about hydrogen in the news, but why has hydrogen garnered so much more attention lately?
So look, hydrogen is a very light gas and it has traditionally been used in industry. Like in ammonia, methanol production, oil refining, and even steel production. So given the low density of hydrogen, the economics favor using it at the point of its production. So given that virtually all hydrogen is derived from fossil fuels today, the economics of hydrogen have lagged behind fossil fuel and other applications. That largely explains why the hydrogen sector has not grown notably to date. The reason that the market is paying more attention to hydrogen now is the potential for hydrogen to decarbonize the economy. While nearly all hydrogen today is produced by splitting hydrocarbons into hydrogen and carbon dioxide, it is possible to produce cleaner hydrogen. Blue hydrogen is produced when this carbon dioxide is captured. Unfortunately, only about 90% of the hydrogen can be captured via carbon capture technology. There are also carbon emissions to consider further upstream. In blue hydrogen production when it comes to, say, oil and gas production. However, the main focus has actually been green hydrogen in the market right now. And this involves running a current through water to split it into hydrogen and oxygen. It is the potential to use this hydrogen, which is carbon-free, as a molecule fuel that is exciting the market. Part of this excitement is being fueled by a number of countries looking to reach net zero carbon emissions by 2050 or 2060. The technological and behavioral changes that are needed for this reality to unfold, though, are significant. The International Energy Agency, the IEA, actually described the changes required as unprecedented. And these ambitions will further the interest, investment, adoption, and push the economy further into hydrogen adoption. And for us, that is really where the excitement is building.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting topic. I know in our most recent podcast with Joseph Caperso, we talked about how we can use a circular economy to create a more sustainable economy. And a lot of that comes down to, I guess, the carbon intensive nature of energy use. So who will use hydrogen and what's the demand prospects like?
So look, while we think there is a place for clean hydrogen in a decarbonized world, the size will greatly depend on competing clean technologies. And this is very key because there is a lot of hype around hydrogen, but the demand side will ultimately dictate which sectors will finally adopt it. For now, the parts of the economy that look likely to use hydrogen in some way include the transport sector. And in that, we're thinking shipping and aviation. These sectors are notoriously difficult to decarbonize. And while batteries can work for some extent of travel, for longer distant voyages, some other solution is needed. And that's why there's real potential with hydrogen. And the same is also true of long distance and heavy haul transport. On the industry side, where we're seeing potential is steel production. There are already processes in place that use hydrogen already, but this is a very small component of steel production today, around 5% of primary steel production. The other side, which is perhaps the most promising, is chemicals. Chemicals actually use hydrogen as a feedstock. So it's actually required in its processing. And so refining oil and ammonia are naturally the two sectors that for us really appeal on the chemical side. And finally, hydrogen can also be used in industry for high temperature heat. And so this includes glass, cement, and aluminium. And even the power sector is looking like it's going to need some green molecules further down the track, particularly when solar and wind power have droughts. That means that there are weeks in which solar and wind power underperform, and we need a source of energy that can run during those periods. And that's where hydrogen can really act as a backstop in the power sector. So on the demand side, those are the key sectors to look at. But I guess the one point I really want to drive home is that electrification and the benefits of renewable power will likely compete heavily with hydrogen. You know, we've talked about heating, but in the industry side, electrification alongside heat pumps are expected to become increasingly more competitive, especially for the low heat manufacturing applications. And then let's not forget how electrification will play out in the battery electric vehicles, and how that will factor into the economics of how battery electric vehicles will likely overpower hydrogen fueled cars. Now, the reason for this ultimately comes down to efficiency. If you look at the overall efficiency of battery electric vehicles, it's around 70 to 90%. But for hydrogen fueled cars, it's as low as 25 to 35%. So, you know, you really have this this element to keep in mind that there is going to be significant competition out there that will take away demand for hydrogen. And so there are multiple pathways to really model over the next 30 years.
So, I mean, that's a really interesting point that it is going to turn into a highly competitive field out there. So I guess the question is it economical to produce this green hydrogen now? Or if not now, when will it become economical?
Sure. So look, when we look at green hydrogen production costs today, really we're talking a technology which is very much emerging. And so right now it is on the higher cost of things. But importantly, how you use your electrolyzer, which is what effectively is used to split the water, is critical. So if you use it continuously at high prices, you're going to get a high cost of green hydrogen production. But if you can be efficient about it and, say, use your electrolyzer during only 3 to 4 hours a day when electricity prices are very, very low because of high solar penetration, you can actually get your costs very, very low. For instance, if you can use curtailed electricity, so basically free electricity for 3 to 4 hours a day, you can get costs as low as Australian $2 a kilo. So, you know, there is real potential to have a great variance in cost right now. But realistically speaking, the next 10 years is going to be a lot of trial and error to try and understand hydrogen, not only on demand application, but understand on the production side where we can really add synergies to get costs low. So the next 10 years, I'd say, is a trial period. You're going to have a lot of pilot projects, which are already underway if we look at, say, ARENA in Australia. But from 2030 onwards, that's when we're going to see this sector consolidate. And that's where we really think that the hydrogen sector will become stronger because the economics will become more appealing.
So we've seen some countries globally take up hydrogen more than others. I think you said in your note, Japan, Korea, and in Europe, looks like hydrogen there has certainly become much more prolific. What about in Australia? What are the opportunities for us here to take advantage of a new hydrogen economy?
So look, the opportunities for Australia are quite significant, because if we go back to fundamentals, what ultimately dictates the price of hydrogen or the cost of hydrogen is your solar and wind resources. And Australia is lucky in that it actually has great solar and wind resources, some of the lowest cost in the world. And because of that, it actually means that we can actually produce green hydrogen at costs which, relative to the world, are some of the lowest. And that's really where the opportunity sits in the longer term, is that, okay, we sit on this resource. How exactly is the best way to utilize it? And so in our paper that we wrote, we really explore a case study in depth. And for us, the Port of Newcastle is a natural, almost link from where its history has been as a coal export hub into something which becomes more green. You know, our concern with the Port of Newcastle, particularly its coal sector, is that if the world is serious about net zero emissions by 2050, 2060, really the forecasts are for coal demand to really plummet. You know, we're talking significant falls in coal demand. And on top of that, the three largest buyers of Australian thermal coal, which is Japan, China, and South Korea, they've all committed to net zero emissions. So for us, it's about, okay, this is the reality facing our coal sector. Is there a way we can actually implement a hydrogen hub here, given this infrastructure at some point will become obsolete if it stays on the path of remaining in coal? Now, what makes this area so good for green hydrogen is that it's also a key source of coal power generation for East Coast Australia. So we know green hydrogen production is incredibly power intensive, but with four major coal power plants retiring in the Hunter Valley in the next two decades, there should be sufficient spare power transmission for green hydrogen. And so in our view, what we're seeing in terms of the development of this region, it really does favor green hydrogen production over the longer term. But this isn't the only factor that's adding to it. If we look at, say, the coal mines, which if they do become obsolete, is there some way to use it? You know, there is literature out there which states that if we can manage to almost factor in hydrogen storage in the rehabilitation cost of retiring coal mines, we could further reduce the cost burden for the hydrogen supply chain. And that for us is another huge opportunity that lies if we take Newcastle, for instance. But going even further, if we look at LNG import terminals, which are look to be built in the East Coast of Australia to really deal with the gas shortage risk, which is imminent in this decade, if we build one in Newcastle, which is already planned by Energy Projects and Infrastructure Korea, you know, is there a potential to share pipeline costs? Because pipeline and storage costs are also a big part of the cost component of hydrogen. So if we try and get a whole system solution in place, taking advantage of location and other projects to share infrastructure and use it wisely, we can really get production costs very low right now. And the whole idea here is to build a hydrogen hub. So not just green production, but can we bring manufacturing that can use green hydrogen right next to these production centers? And for us, this is really where the advantage is, because while a number of states and federal strategies talk of exporting hydrogen, it is an order of magnitude more expensive to export it overseas than even producing it. So economically, if we look at it from a global stance, it's better to use your hydrogen to produce the green good where it's produced, and therefore, from that point, export that manufactured good. For us, we see an enormous opportunity for Australian industry to really get involved and build their industry around a hub in, say, Newcastle. And that's really where we see a kind of a whole of system solution being built. And really, this gives a potential renaissance to manufacturers in the East Coast, which have really struggled under almost structurally higher gas prices over the last decade.
It's certainly very fascinating and can provide, I guess, a source of not only economic growth for Australia for many years, but also a way to decarbonise Australia's economy when that will become increasingly important when our major trading partners and major global economies are much focused on reducing and, as you say, meeting their 2030 and 2050 goals. Now, we've talked a lot about, I guess, the upsides of hydrogen. Are there any concerns? I mean, some people talk about the downside, like water usage. What are your thoughts on that?
So, look, when it comes to water usage, it's true that hydrogen will need a clean water source. But importantly, if we look at other sectors and how much water they consume, you'll see that hydrogen is actually on par with some big sectors. And in our view, the one that we pay probably the closest attention to is if we do see coal power generation almost scaled back over the next 2 to 3 decades, which is largely built into many forecasts, coal power generation itself accounts for about 8.1 billion cubic meters of water usage in 2016, roughly. Now, if we assume the most bullish case for hydrogen adoption in the world, which the Bloomberg New Energy Finance forecasts in one of their scenarios, which accounts for about, say, 25% of final energy demand by 2050. It is almost like for like. So what coal uses, what coal power generation uses for water, that's what hydrogen would use for water as well. So we actually have natural offsets occurring as we go down the decarbonization story. So, you know, we think the fear that, oh, we need fresh water, this is going to be a problem. We actually think that's very much an issue that seems much bigger than it actually is, given that the decarbonization of the world will bring actually more water sources out.
Vivek, it's been a fascinating topic to talk about, and I have no doubt that we'll continue to hear more on this topic. Now, you can read Vivek Dhar's reports in our Beyond Economics series. He published 3 reports on energy transition on the 13th of January 2021. This podcast has been based on the 3rd of those papers, which is Australia's Hydrogen Dream, Vivek. Now, you can read all 3 of those papers on www.combankresearch.com.au. Vivek, it's been great to have you on today.
No, thank you, Belinda. It's been great.